I've never been part of a group of speakers that are as young as we've had today. So this is a sport coat. I, like Randy, have got my notes up here to keep me on time, because I am not a Wilson. And I could do 45 minutes on my social security number. So inside my chest is a heart that aches for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The spiritually hungry, I pray that they would be fed, that they would be fully satisfied by the eternal bread of life. My heart aches for the physically hungry, the poor, the needy, the lost and forgotten, the homeless, the widows and the orphans. And I pray that they would be fed, that they would be fully satisfied by the daily bread of this earth. I long to obey the great commandment in Mark 12 to love my neighbor. I long to obey the great commission in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. I long to serve Jesus by serving those in need around me that David just spoke of, the hungry, the needy, the naked. I desire to serve Jesus by serving those around me. I want to obey and start my missional journey in Jerusalem. You're familiar with Acts 1:8. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Riverside and in Reseda and in North Dakota. It's obvious that God wants us to take the world for him, but it's also very obvious that he wants us to start right where we are, in our neighborhood, our own Jerusalem. So here's what we do. We teach people how to develop a simple, non-threatening food collection route in their own neighborhood of up to 10 people, up to 3 times a year. It's called Canning Hunger Through Neighborhood Connections. It's a dual goal strategy to help us meet local hunger needs and develop intentionally relationships with our neighbors that eventually earn us the right to effectively share the gospel, invite them to a church, invite them to an event, invite them to a backyard or a front yard barbecue. Canning Hunger Through Neighborhood Connections equips us to connect with them intentionally, not accidentally. And do it in a way that it just works. It works because it's natural for them and it's natural for us. I believe that all of us in this room agree that every great movement of God starts with prayer. We don't need to argue about that. That's real. Billy Graham said the 3 most effective parts of any revival is prayer, 1, prayer, 2, prayer, 3. And so it is with neighboring in any format. Whatever you are here today, whatever your preference is for reaching out and meeting your neighbors, whether it's walking dogs, whether it is doing gardening, whether it is doing front yard or backyard or any other way, it should start with prayer. And so it is with neighboring. The very first step of Canning Hunger Through Neighborhood Connections starts with prayer walking. I'm sure we all recognize the myriad of things that God can do when we pray. We've heard testimonies of when we pray, God sends us answers to that prayer. Canning Hunger doesn't compete with that. It just takes it to another step. It's a tool designed to take us from prayer walking to neighbors talking. My son makes sure, he said, dramatic pause. From prayer walking to neighbors talking. It's designed to complement whatever approach you use. And there's lots of them. And we've heard the reasons that they all work, but here's something. Neighborhood strategies, neighboring is a lot like diets, man. Every diet works if you do what it says to do. And every neighboring program that we have now or will ever have works if you go do what it says to do. But here's the disclaimer. Neighboring, to be fully effective, requires us to eventually connect with our neighbors. We really do have to do that. We've got to say hi. We got to exchange words. We got to introduce ourselves. We have to learn their names. We have to engage them in conversations. We really do have to go from prayer walking to neighbors talking. And for some of us, that's a stumbling block. Over the years, I've literally asked thousands of people what keeps them from going and knocking on their neighbor's door. Give me the number one answer. Fear, absolutely. Fear of rejection, and yet when we do it this way, nearly 100% of every single person that opens the door will give us food. Fear that we're going to offend them, and yet using this process, everybody thanks you for coming and letting them do what they wanted to do, and that's helping their community. Fear that we're going to make them angry, and yet no one gets mad at you for helping feed hungry kids and their families right in their own community. Nearly everyone that I surveyed said, we don't know where to start, and we don't know what to say. We do know we're supposed to go, but we don't know how to start. We finally got something that takes the fear out of knocking on your neighbor's door. Some call it the ultimate icebreaker. Before I show you how it works, I want to tell you why it works. It's the difference between outreach and something that I like to call inreach. Outreach, by the nature of its name, says you're out, I'm in. If you do what I tell you to, you can get in like me. And so our goal, we're sent to go next door to tell the people, you got a problem. And I know the solution to that problem. And you know what? That's offensive to a lot of people. And so with reach changes that. Instead of telling our neighbors, I know you have a problem and I have the solution, I get to go to my neighbors and say, I know someone who has a problem. I know that there's a hungry child, a needy family. I know someone in our community that needs help. Will you join with me? That's with reach. Will you join with me in helping them? And you know what? Almost everyone wants to do that. We've discovered that people in America will help if they know that there's a problem and you make it convenient enough for them. Here's the question we ask a lot of people. If you knew someone was hungry in your community, answer this for me. If you knew that there was somebody hungry in your community and you could do something about it, would you? Yeah, if you're like almost every single person in the United States that we've asked that, the answer is yes. We've discovered that people who have food are willing to share it with people who need food if you make it convenient enough for them. Convenience was part of the missing link in the hunger chain. If I ask you to take a can of food down to the corner of 5th and Main Street on Tuesday between 10 and 2 and put it in the blue barrel, you may or may not do that. But if I'm your neighbor and I will knock on your door and wait at your doorstep while you go to get something out of your cupboard to share, you will do that. Nearly 100% of everybody who's ever been asking, we've had over 300,000 people do this. I want you to role play with me for just a second, okay? We're going to do it. Just, I'm coming to your door. Somebody got to open the door. There you go, thank you. Hi, my name is Norm Juan, and I'm your next door neighbor. And I just volunteered to be our neighborhood coordinator for a program called Canning Hunger. We're not selling anything. We're not asking for any money. What I'm doing is working with Rose Drive Friends Church and the Salvation Army to help feed hungry kids and their families right here in our own community. If you got anything in your cupboard that you could share with me today, I'll get it back to the kids that need it the most. Would that be okay, sir? What are you going to say? I'm your next door neighbor. No, you know what? I don't care. You don't say that to your next door neighbor. You take the bag, you go get something, you bring it back to me. Now, when you bring it back to me, this is what I get to say. Thanks for your generosity. And by the way, I volunteer to do this on a regular basis because kids don't get hungry just at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Unfortunately, hunger doesn't take a vacation. So if you wouldn't mind, I'll stop back by one or two times a year to see if you have another item or two to share. Would that be all right? 100% of the people who give you something will give you the right to come back and do it again. And I say, thanks. And by the way, again, my name's Norm, and you are? Heather? Thank you, Heather. Really appreciate it on behalf of the kids that we serve you around. What just happened, man? You just connected with a neighbor. You engaged them in a conversation. You invited them to join you in helping the needy. They agreed to do that and participate in you helping serve others. You learned their name. They invited you back to do it again, and you just served Jesus by serving the least of these in your community. Amen? Here's a bold statement. Canning Hunger Through Neighborhood Connections never fails. You can never knock on 10 doors and not collect some amount of food. You can never knock on 10 doors and not find something that your church or you can help that is a need that your neighbor has. You can never knock on 10 doors and not either deepen a relationship that you already have or start a relationship for the first time with somebody you just met. And then, every once in a while, and more often than you might think, somebody at the door, a lady that you've just gotten or asked food for, steps out, closes the door maybe, and says, you know what? I can't give you any food. Matter of fact, our family needs food. My husband got ill, got laid off about 6 months ago, and right now we don't know how we're going to feed our three children for the next few days until a little bit of money comes in. That's when life changes. That's when your neighborhood becomes your Jerusalem. That's when neighboring becomes real. Here's just a couple of short testimonies of some people who are doing Canning Hunger in their neighborhoods right now.
Canning Hunger has really just helped us get to meet our neighbors and get to know our neighborhood a lot better. I mean, we've met more people in the past year doing Canning Hunger than we had in our previous 4 years of living there.
Jim mentioned it in one of the services, and it was great that we were able to do it with our young children, because there aren't a whole lot of opportunities for families to serve together in such a tangible way.
I think if we didn't do Canning Hunger, we would still be going on the way we have been and probably wouldn't know our neighbors and our kids wouldn't have those same relationships. It was just a really simple, low-risk opportunity for an introvert like myself. I mean, I wasn't asking for money or asking them to church right away, but it was just saying, you know, if you've got some canned goods, just bring them out and we'd love to get to know you and about you and your family. You know, who's gonna turn from that?
When my family and I were doing Canning Hunger a few years back, we met a great family, and the mom's name was Trish, and she was battling cancer. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2012, but because of Canning Hunger, my family got to know her better. In fact, about a week before she passed away, I went to her house, and she accepted my offer for me to pray over her. It was a beautiful moment that I'll never forget. Last summer, I found out that Ian was really struggling. He was missing his mom very much, and he was carrying her memorial card around with him. That broke my heart, so I just felt led to find him a mentor through Kids Hope USA. So that's exactly what we did. Last weekend, I was doing some yard work, and Ian and his older brother Nick pulled up on their bikes. And guess what they were doing? They were collecting canned goods for their local food pantry. It was such a surreal moment for me because this story just went full circle. You know, my family decided to do Canning Hunger so that we could help feed those in need, but obviously God had much bigger plans.
Those are just two stories of thousands from around the country. And they'll never happen if we don't go from prayer walking to neighbors talking. I'm going to close with a story about a Dodger fan, a dad, maybe some of you have heard it, but it fits here today. It's a dad who, you cut him, he bleeds Dodger blue. He was a Dodger fan, okay? And so his little daughter had reached her fifth birthday, and he felt like that was the first time that she was ready to go to a ball game with him. And so it was dad's night out with his daughter, and he'd taken her to a game. And that night, it happened to be midnight. And When they went through the turnstile, the little girl got a glove and put it on her hand. And Dad's walking down the concourse, man, he's feeling good. You know, he got his daughter all attached here. And she started crying. And he picked her up, and she's sobbing. And he's saying, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" And she said, "Daddy," she said, "I just wanted to watch him play. I don't want to play." If we're not careful, man, we can put the glove on about neighboring. We can do lots of things, except we don't go play. God bless you.